How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Plenty of news to talk about here today. The Monday Night Raw show was last night, and we have a lot of stuff already leading into the Royal Rumble. Now, keep in mind, the Royal Rumble is in January, and December has two more WWE pay-per-views. And so we have a couple of extra shows leading to the Royal Rumble at the Alamo Dome. They have tens of thousands of tickets that need to be sold, so they need big matches. And they did announce last night that Bill Goldberg is not only back, but he is entering the Royal Rumble match. Which, if I recall correctly, this is the exact same way that they set up Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar when they first did it in 2004. Everybody's expecting that Brock is going to cost Goldberg the Royal Rumble match, setting up their bout at WrestleMania. We'll see if that ends up happening. Goldberg's got to be in there. He's got to run roughshod. It's got to be quick. It's got to be quick, and then he's got to get out of there. Goldberg in the ring for too long a length of time will, unfortunately, expose him as the Goldberg from WWE that nobody wants to see. They want the WCW Goldberg. I think that's made abundantly clear by the television over the last couple of days. We could talk about Raw here tonight. I've also got a new idea, my scenario leading to the John Cena versus Undertaker match at WrestleMania. I've got a new twist in it that I think ties everything together. We'll talk about that after the break. Take your phone calls, emails, text messages. 844-411-5411 is the toll-free number. Text messages, 425-780-7566. All kicking off after the break with Mike Semper, VV Observer, live. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk the Raw show from Monday night, Goldberg, the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and so much more. And Mike, I had a thought the other day.
Oh yeah?
By the other day, I mean today. Mm-hmm. So, I was thinking about this scenario that we had come up with a couple of days ago, of The Undertaker getting very mad at AJ Styles, and somehow this leading to an Undertaker-AJ Styles match at the Royal Rumble. Undertaker winning the title, and then for WrestleMania, it is the long-awaited John Cena-Undertaker match, which could be title versus career if you want to go all in, if Undertaker, for real this time, is ready to never wrestle again. If not, just put the title on the line. John Cena, obviously, has been shooting for his 16th world title. If you're going to do it, it has to be done at WrestleMania. And John Cena-Undertaker is a giant match for that WrestleMania show. Undertaker, obviously, fighting for the title in the Alamo Dome is going to sell a ton of tickets. Now, when we talked about this scenario, one of the first things that Dave mentioned was they didn't have John Cena lose two times to AJ Styles for nothing. Obviously, John Cena is going to get his win back at some point. Now, when John Cena was losing to AJ, that was during the period where The Undertaker had left WrestleMania last year and said, I'm out of here, I'm retired, I'm done. So, here's my theory, and here's how you solve this problem. My theory is that at the time, John Cena lost twice to AJ Styles. The idea was that maybe John Cena would win the Royal Rumble, but somehow you would do John Cena versus AJ Styles at Mania, and John Cena would get his big win back there and become a 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. I think that that's what the original idea was. Now that The Undertaker's back, you can make this bigger and you can solve that problem. And the way you do it is, somehow, The Undertaker needs to appear at this TLC show with AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose in the ladder match. Now, how you tie this together, I mean, really, The Undertaker should be mad at Dean Ambrose. It's all Dean Ambrose's fault that this happened at Survivor Series. Dean Ambrose is the guy that screwed it up for his team. How you switch the heat from Dean Ambrose to AJ Styles, I'm not sure, but somehow you got to do it, and you got to set up this championship match at the Rumble. The Undertaker beats AJ Styles and wins the title. Now, if The Undertaker beats AJ Styles and wins the title, and John Cena wins the Royal Rumble, The Undertaker has two challengers, because his challenger should be John Cena because he won the Rumble, but AJ Styles deserves a rematch. And so the easiest solution is, at the February pay-per-view, you do John Cena versus AJ Styles, the winner gets The Undertaker for the title at WrestleMania, and John Cena beats AJ, he gets his win back, and he goes on to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Everything works. If they don't do this, I'm going to be so angry that such an easy storyline is thrown out the window. Because it's so easy, everything makes sense. It would feel like they planned this a year in advance, even though they didn't, because they didn't know if The Undertaker was going to come back. It's a perfect storyline. They got to do it.
And who's got the pay-per-view right after WrestleMania? Actually, you know what?
They both do.
Well, so it doesn't even matter if there was only one. You still have all of 2017 for John Cena to beat AJ Styles again. And then, if you need John Cena to have an advantage in the final win percentage column, you give him a third one. At some point down the line, you have all of next year, unless John Cena quits and starts hosting the Today Show or whatever it is that John Cena is going to do with his post-wrestling life. Unless that magically happens right after WrestleMania next year, you got all of 2017 for John Cena to get the advantage historically on AJ Styles. It's a great idea. It works. Do you telegraph anything with the Undertaker retiring with John Cena in the title? I don't know. It's interesting to see how, especially the average fan base, will take that, because hardcore fans know that, or at least have a feeling that stipulations don't matter, because more often than not, stipulations don't matter in the world of WWE. So it'll be interesting to see how they take this mythical title reign, championship reign total of Ric Flair as John Cena defeating it, and or The Undertaker's career being on the line.
All right, don't put the career on the line, because the stipulation of John Cena trying to win his 16th title and tie the mythical record of Ric Flair, that's as real a stipulation as you can get. You're guaranteed heat in that match. I mean, you're guaranteed heat whether there's anything on the line or not. It's John Cena and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But you're guaranteed, if you're a fan, if you buy your ticket, if you watch it on the network, if you go to the building, you're guaranteed to witness history there. John Cena either makes it or he doesn't. I don't know about the retirement scenario is difficult because nobody buys any of that, but I think you should put it on the line anyway. Because you know what? Here's why they might believe it, Mike. Because The Undertaker's so damn old.
That's true.
if it were John Cena, AJ Styles, I mean, even for crying out loud, it was a cool storyline and everything, but did anyone really believe that if Dolph Ziggler lost to The Miz, he was never going to wrestle in WWE again? Of course not. Nobody took it seriously because he's a young guy. But if you take a guy who's 52 years old and he barely ever wrestles, and you say that it's title versus career, and if The Undertaker loses, that's the end of his career, people are going to buy it because he's old.
And for anybody out there that wants to sing the ballad of AJ Styles, what happens to AJ then in this scenario? You have plenty of options. Not the
Nakamura.
Least of which, well, there you go. Not the least of which is people not on SmackDown, because he's probably going to have a match that crosses over when you look at all of the rosters and you include in NXT. You know, if I don't know if he's going to be back yet or not. I would assume he would be by then. Finn Balor and AJ Styles is, I mean, think about that. And if you wanted to do something with the club, if you wanted to do, I know it's, you know, long in the tooth for people wanting to see some sort of combination of old Bullet Club members, but there you go. Having that leading into WrestleMania or coming out of WrestleMania could be a good idea.
This person says, regarding your scenario, they could also do AJ Undertaker rematch in February and Cena just challenges whoever's the champion at Mania. You could do that, but my point was, you got to give John Cena his win back at some point. Now, you could, after John Cena wins a title, his first program is with AJ Styles, and then he can get his wins back there. You could do it that way.
I don't think I want to see Undertaker. If I see him at Royal Rumble, I don't want to see him again until Mania, and I don't want to risk having him out there until Mania. And even after that, I don't know if he's going to stick around or not, but, you know, Undertaker once every 2 months, I'd be completely okay with that. Or once every 3 months, however you want to do it. His presence on either show would probably be enough, especially on SmackDown. So I don't know if you want to push it too much, if he is serious about continuing this on for a little bit longer.
This person says, putting the Mania title match on the line is just what they did with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, and fans could turn on Cena because of it like they did with Reigns. Well, there's a big difference. I don't think fans love AJ Styles the way that they love Daniel Bryan. And I just think that I think they'll be okay with it. I mean, they booed John Cena anyway. Who cares? They boo him and they cheer him and they just get the biggest reaction. It doesn't matter. I think it's a very different scenario. And the other thing is, I know that you really want to see the Brock Lesnar Nakamura match, and I'm sure it would be a good match, but there's two things to think about here. Number one, Brock versus Goldberg and Nakamura versus AJ. I think that's way better than Brock versus Nakamura.
I don't know about way better.
No, it's way better. I'm going to tell you why. Because do you remember WrestleMania this year when it was Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose? Mm-hmm. And Dean Ambrose showed up at the building and he was all ready to do a match and he had all these great ideas and he showed up and Brock didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to kill the guy and that was it. Now, I'm sure that Brock respects Shinsuke Nakamura, but there is no guarantee that on the day of the show, Brock just decides, I don't want to do anything. Let's just go 8 minutes and I'll suplex you a bunch. You do a couple kicks, and then I'm going to F5 you, and that's it. Because that could happen. And it's not going to happen with AJ Nakamura. We're going to head to a break, everybody. Back in a moment. Your phone calls, emails, text messages, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. So it looks like Pro Wrestling Sheet has just reported that also in the 2017 Royal Rumble match at the Alamo Dome is Brock Lesnar himself.
Of course.
You know what I love about this is they're making it so easy, so obvious. It's going to be a moment where Goldberg comes in and he throws out like 10 guys all at the same time. Place goes absolutely crazy. And then the music hits after the countdown and it's Brock! He runs out there and they have a wild battle and geeks have to separate him, or I don't know how you get them both out of there.
Oh man, there's a million ways to get them out. Either Goldberg cleans house, Brock has been thrown outside, comes back in, just dumps him over the top in the most cowardly way. I mean, there's so many ways back and forth if you wanted to go with that, including those two. Just brawling, do the double flip over the top rope, which I don't think I want Bill doing that one. Yeah, and Brock likes stuff. Also, he's got a magnet in his head when he goes over the top rope where he just seems to fall on top of it. So, okay, yeah, maybe not that one.
Maybe Braun Strowman can throw them both out.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's go to the
phones. I would rather see him do that with one of them because the other smaller guys fly too much.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on? Hello there.
Hey, Brian. So you were just talking about, you know, the storyline with Undertaker and John Cena and AJ. And you said, I don't know how you could switch the heat from Dean Ambrose to AJ. I have an idea, you know, at TLC. Taker interrupts the match and, you know, he's talking to Dean Ambrose and Styles goes for a swing with a chair at Dean Ambrose and maybe Dean Ambrose ducks and hits Taker and, you know, they could carry that to Royal Rumble.
You could do that. Now, how does Undertaker get involved in the match?
You know, you said he's, you know, mad at Dean Ambrose, shows up at TLC. Then, like, why did you betray SmackDown? And, that's probably one way to get AJ Styles and Taker involved.
Could do that. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. There's got to be a tie-in here. There's got to be a tie-in. Somehow, I'm gonna rack my brain.
Hey, AJ
put on
Styles
my Vince just cap.
But AJ Styles,
how can I get Braun Strowman involved?
Oh, for God's sakes. Look, he just Styles just needs to cut a promo or be disrespectful of The Undertaker for a couple of weeks in some sort of way, or even 1 week, and then the dong hits. And what else do you really need? I mean, it is The Undertaker now. We probably shouldn't.
You know why I need more
ways? Why?
Because I'm so desperate to have one damn storyline that makes sense from beginning to end.
You got one with Brock and Goldberg right now.
I know, but listen, if I can find a way to switch the heat from Dean to AJ, then I got everything. Because The Undertaker came out and he flat out said, if this team loses, there's going to be hell to pay. Now, Dean Ambrose is fully 100%, it's all his fault. He came back out. He came back out in that match, and he screwed it up for the old SmackDown team. It's all his fault. So Undertaker should be furious at Dean Ambrose. But somehow he needs to get his hands on AJ.
AJ's just a prick. Isn't that enough?
I'm trying to think of how to do this. Maybe Undertaker can show up. Maybe the lights go out and Undertaker's on the top of the ladder. And he just chokeslams Dean Ambrose all the way down to the ground, and AJ
wins.
Wait
a second.
And then Undertaker just points at him. You're next.
You don't want Brock Lesnar and Goldberg to spill over the top rope yet. You want the Undertaker on a ladder.
Well, he's not going to fall off it.
Yeah, but you're like, okay, how long do the lights have to go out for that old man to climb on top of the ladder?
Hey, this guy's an athlete.
He is tall, too, so I guess he didn't have to go that far.
He's got a new hip joint or whatever. The surgery. This guy can climb a ladder. Give me a break. What do you think happens in his house when a light bulb goes out? He says, Sarah, change that light bulb.
Yeah, she's tall.
Well, that's true. To the phones, you're on the air.
This is Jim from Virginia.
Michelle,
hello,
by
Jim.
The way. Michelle.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Man, I screwed that up. I apologize.
About Raw last night.
Yes.
Are we going to have another women's title change next week?
I hope not.
Do you want to know what I think is going to happen?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I think that Charlotte's going to somehow win and Sasha's turning heel.
Well, that would be a good scenario. I was thinking, you know, being in Charlotte, you know, that's Nature Boy country. You know, bring him in.
Hey, you know, they did just recently start calling her Charlotte Flair again. This was within the last month. They had never been calling her that, and they started doing it again. So, yeah, Rick could interfere and cost. Let me think about this. Because, listen, here's a scenario. Man, I'm just on a roll today. So, why did they get rid of Ric Flair in the first place?
He's old.
Anybody know?
I don't know that. Only way I know that in the storyline, he got blessed out by Charlotte.
They replaced him because they were going to go full on with Dana and Charlotte as the duo. And it's pretty clear now that they've just lost faith in Dana. God bless her, but thank God. So you could bring Ric Flair back now, and that's your big duo again. And if you're going to turn, I mean, this sounds hideous, but if you're going to turn Sasha heel, then you could turn Dana babyface.
Yeah,
that's your switcherooski.
Wouldn't Ric Flair love to be hugged by Bayley too much?
I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. I'm just trying to figure out how to get out of next week without a third women's title change on Raw, because it's totally overkill at that point.
He was talking about Shane McMahon yesterday. The man is 46 years old. He does not need to be jumping off ropes, jumping off cages. You know, I'm like you guys. I mean, He's gonna hurt himself real bad, I'm afraid, one of these times, jumping on Braun Strowman or whoever.
Well, I hope he doesn't, because I hope he doesn't wrestle anymore. This is ridiculous.
Is there a Ric Flair, Braun Strowman scenario?
Ridiculous. He doesn't need to do it. He's like you said, he's over his all get up, and you know what I'm saying?
His over is all get up. He doesn't need to be wrestling.
Exactly. And I guess you haven't seen ROH yet.
No, not yet.
All right, I'll shut up then.
All right, thanks, Jim. That's what I like to hear in a caller. I'll shut up then, he said.
Ric Flair, I believe, had his, well, I think it was the Mid-Atlantic TV title, the year you were born, Brian. I believe that's what it was. So, yeah, probably Ric Flair, a little bit too old to be messing around on ladders and whatnot.
Hey, listen, I got to thank Wild Talk Radio. He saved the day here. He made a very astute point.
What?
Even though Dean did come in and screw everything up, SmackDown won.
Yeah.
That's an important key.
It's true.
So now it's easy. You do Undertaker, or you do Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles in a TLC match, and as soon as AJ wins, the lights go out, and Undertaker's on the ramp, and he points at AJ and does a throat slit. Boom! We're done!
Well, you can't do the...
Now don't screw it up!
Can't do the throat slit anymore, can you?
Why not?
Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. The
of course you can.
That's
give me
true.
A break.
The NFL, you can't do the throat slit.
Well, this ain't the NFL. This is where the big boys play.
And along the way, Undertaker can beat up Sami Zayn, since Sami Zayn is the only one who's going to take an L from anything that happened on the Survivor Series. It's all his fault.
We have Lori here saying they got rid of Ric Flair because he was drunk at an airport.
Well,
hey, stuck around a while after that. Not a long while, but a little while. And you know, he's had some time. I don't know. I don't know if Ric Flair's going to be back next week. I don't want people starting rumors. It just does tie in. It could happen. It is Charlotte. The dirtiest player in the game should help his daughter win.
How do you think Lana looked last night during the skit with Enzo?
Oh, God. Dear Lord. Don't get me going here.
Rusev looked pretty good, too.
I was just amazed that Rusev, it is now November 22nd, and for 11 months, I've had to hear one backstage geek after another ask the stupidest questions in the whole world. And the great Rusev takes one look at Enzo, and he says, "Why are you naked in front of my wife?" I thought that was the best backstage question I've heard in all of 2016. It's logical. It's to the point. It's a great question.
But he doesn't look as good wearing velvet as Charlie Caruso does.
I'm not into this Charlie Caruso. I'm not into any of the backstage interview girls except Renee, because she's the only one with talent. The rest of them just stand there and ask the stupidest questions. Let me recap the question that Charlie asked last night. You want me to?
Good.
Comes up to Chris Jericho and she says, "What's your reaction to Raw's loss last night?" Give me a break.
I think even more than that is the fact that there is, and this, she's a beautiful woman, there is no expression on her face. In the microphone, it just, nothing changes. It's that side view shot of her head, and she says it, and she's just staring a hole through Jericho. I guess, you know, look past the person you're looking
at.
Let
me defend Charlie, though.
Okay.
She can at least, she had a really good sad face when she was buried later in the show by, I think it was Kevin Owens. Now, Dasha literally has absolutely zero change of expression in her entire backstage. I mean, she doesn't blink. She doesn't raise her eyebrows. She doesn't look happy. She doesn't look sad. There's nothing. Charlie, at least, she's able to look happy and sad. I don't mind Charlie. They just give her really stupid questions to ask.
And it's amazing.
And it's not the women. They have to have the dudes ask stupid questions as well. Everybody backstage has to ask stupid questions.
And they all come from, I believe, broadcast backgrounds where they've actually done stuff on TV, where they've actually, you know, shown emotion.
And it's amazing, too, because if I were WWE, if I were Vince McMahon, I mean, would I really want my viewers going, "Why does this company hire such stupid, boring people to ask questions? Doesn't make any sense." But for some reason, that's what they want. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. The following announcement has been paid for by the Overweight Classic Championship Committee.
This is Granny here in the Overweight Classic Control Center. The tournament is in disarray as both Vince Verai and Kane were removed from the tournament after charges of bias by Brian Alvarez and Filthy Tom Lawler. The fate of the two finalists, Max Smashmaster and Action Ortiz, lies in the hands of a secret judge assigned by the Overweight Classic Championship Committee. We are told this judge will call in live with his decision during Filthy 4 Daily on Wednesday afternoon. Available exclusively for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Who will win the 2016 Overweight Classic? Don't you dare miss it.
Man, that's serious business.
By ass.
Yeah. Hey, don't make fun of our pronunciations.
Sorry. At least you get it honestly.
I have also been told that tomorrow on Filthy 4 Daily, we are in fact doing a Ode to the Overweight Classic song contest. 30 seconds or less. You can send your song in an MP3 format to Brian@WrestlingObserver.com with Filthy Contest in the subject line. And the winner, the best song, is going to get a Fight Kit ring-worn jacket from Filthy Tom Lawler. that he wore in his last fight with Corey Anderson. He's giving it away to the winner.
Such a good memory for him.
That's right.
He's giving it away.
He's getting rid of it as quick as he can. So if you want a fight-worn ring jacket from Filthy Tom Lawler from his last UFC fight with Corey Anderson, send your 30-second ode to the Overweight Classic to Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Put Filthy Contest in the subject line, and we shall play them on the show tomorrow and hand out a prize. That's a great prize.
It is a great prize, actually.
That thing wouldn't be cheap.
I was going to say, what other show possibly out there could actually offer a an actual fight kit jacket, official, ring-worn from the Ultimate Fighting Championships?
None! Any. There's not any. All right, a couple of text messages here. If you want to give us a call on topic today, 844-411-5411. Text messages 425-780-7566. Got 1,000 text messages about how SmackDown won. That's right, they did. They did win that match. It was 52 minutes. Give me a break. This person says, I figured New Day was turning heel, so Demolition will come back to a huge pop. They've been talking about them so much, I figured that they will show up. However, I heard they are part of a lawsuit, so there is no chance in hell. That's Chris in Vegas. And he edited out the word hell. I put that in myself. Dude, that was a heel finish last night.
It was. It definitely was. But then again, that you're going to have that. If Cesaro's going to take the loss, no matter what you do to Cesaro, you're going to be the heel. I mean, so that's... And really, look how they've been... Look at what they do anyway. They are basically... They are heels that got over as baby faces, but the act was supposed to be heel act. You know, think about the Freebirds and other acts like that. I mean, for the most part, when you have the man advantage... You're usually the bad guys. It's just in today's day and age and how the New Day ended up playing the thing, they became baby faces. But if you're going to be a champion for that long and you have such limited teams on the roster anyway, to have one of the teams have a little bit of a shadowy edge to them and be able to go both ways is probably a good thing. Gallows and Anderson, they're heels, flat out. You know, Enzo and Big Cass, they're baby faces, flat out. So to have somebody that can play both sides, especially if they're going to continue the storyline on, and I would assume that they're going to lose not long after that they break the record. But if you do want to continue to go on with them, then you do have to at least incorporate some new things here and there, and them having a little bit more of a dirty edge to them, I don't think is the worst thing in the world.
This person says, as someone who grew up taking grandma to the Cow Palace for wrestling, I love and respect your wonderful granny. Hey, she did better than Dasha.
So I wonder if that was the AWA days or way back in the Ray Stevens days. Pat Patterson.
Cesaro tweeted, I'm tired of it. Do we need to look anything into this? Or could it just be storyline and he is tired of Sheamus? I'd presume it's the latter, would be my guess.
We're tired of being screwed over by the New Day or tired of always coming up a little bit short. I mean, there's lots of different stuff. And haven't we seen this with Cesaro? I mean, again, it could be a work shoot. He could actually be like, I wish I was over in New Japan working right now, but it's not like he's going to leave. So I think people look... everybody needs to take a second in this day and age. WWE has caught up to the point that they're going to catch up to, and you've seen it on Talking Smack. We've seen it with Steve Austin's show, although to a little bit of a lesser degree there. But we've seen it with tweets and Instagram posts and a lot of that stuff. Take a second and stop and ask yourself, okay, you know, even if this is a real life sentiment, is it just being played for the show? I think you have to do that now when these guys post on social media.
This person here says, Goldberg should eliminate Brock from the Rumble. Then Brock just jumps back in, hits an F5 on Goldberg, and throws him out.
There you go.
Yep, you could certainly do that. This person says, I am so sick of the New Day. They need to be beaten immediately after they break the record. Got to figure out what day they break the record, and then if they could be beaten like the next day on Raw. Person here says, do you think SmackDown is a place where Vince tests out new ideas? One thing in particular, turning the Usos heel was really strange. Seems to be working. Perhaps Vince wants to see if it works for the Usos. It might work for Roman.
No, I think
you're looking too much into it there.
It
you know,
was
it's
just
funny.
Time.
It's so funny. It is so funny
What's funny, Brian?
I'm building up a head of steam here.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned this before, but 3 hours is too long for Raw. You wear that, Mike? I'm not sure if the listeners have heard this before. But Vince McMahon has said before that to him, the optimum length of a wrestling show is 90 minutes. Not even 2 hours, 90 minutes.
Memphis.
But they're contractually obligated to do 3 hours. And it's hilarious. You watch Raw, and Raw is consistently, I don't want to say awful. It has its moments here and there, but usually Raw is disappointing, and sometimes it's outright bad. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I have heard more than ever, this Vince McMahon is out of touch. He just doesn't have it anymore. Can we get rid of the guy and bring in Triple H or whatever people's dream scenario is? But then, SmackDown goes to 2 hours live, and they move it to Tuesdays, and they increase its priority. And all of a sudden, people think, oh man, this is the greatest show in the world. It must be Triple H and Ryan Ward writing it. Vince is on Raw, and Triple H and Ryan Ward are on SmackDown. And God, what a great show. It's so awesome. I love watching SmackDown. I can enjoy WWE and not have to watch this horrible Raw show. Come to find out, nothing has changed. Vince McMahon is writing Raw, and Vince McMahon is writing SmackDown. But the key is, it's 2 hours. And it's a way easier show to write. It's a way easier show to watch. And you take an hour off of it, and all of a sudden, all these people think it's just the cat's meow. It's crazy.
There's a thing with Raw right now.
I mean, I think with hold on. This is mind-blowing to me. Like, all of these people, the Vince McMahon is crazy, and he's lost his mind, and he can't do anything anymore. And they're here praising SmackDown, which is a total Vince McMahon show. It's just an hour less. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about how Raw needs to not be 3 hours. It's so bad that people think Vince McMahon should be replaced. And he's right in the other show that they love.
I just, the mentality, too, of Raw, where there are so many people that dread. They go in, they just don't want to watch the show. You're going into the show already down because it's 3 hours. You go in because you know it's going to be a lot of nonsense. It's just, people dread watching Raw. It's not even, it's amazing. I don't know if anybody does this with any other type, I guess they do, with other types of entertainment where it's just, you plan on watching it on the DVR, you plan on watching it live, but you already have in your mind what you're going to skip to, times that you know you can jump on social media and ignore the show that way. I mean, there's just, it is all around, everything that goes around Raw right now is, it does drag you down. And not to say that there's not good things on it, but I mean, some of the most entertaining times watching Raw tends to be when you're looking at your social media and people are talking about how bad the show is or how long the show is.
This person says it would be a great shock if the New Day lost the belts right before breaking the record. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, it would certainly be a great shock, but it kind of would remind me of one of those long matches where I sit there for 35 minutes and then it's a DQ, which I think is what they did with Roman Reigns and Rusev. That might have actually been a finish, but we've seen it a million times. They go like 15, 20 minutes and it's a bad DQ at the end. I mean, I've devoted 400 and something days to this title reign, and it's been a focus of the show like forever, it seems like. And at this point, it's just like, just break the record and then take the belts off them so I don't have to hear about this again. Beat him right before that is kind of like, my God, did they ever put one over on me?
Well, and that's, the reason they end up doing this stuff is because they want to erase an old memory, no matter who it is, whether it's this person winning the belt or that person winning the belt, you know, AJ, you know, I forget who's Reign, the Chiyu. They've done this where, yeah, if they've had a bad taste in somebody's mouth about somebody, they're going to go ahead and break their record and replace it with their new thing, so there's no way that they're doing that, especially with the relationship with Bill Eadie and everything. It's not like they won't use any part of Demolition to market them to make some money off of them. But with that said, they're not trying to give them any more shine either.
This person here says, I did not watch Survivor Series, but I did watch Goldberg-Lesnar last night. And as someone who didn't watch WCW during the Monday Night Wars and didn't really see the appeal of a Goldberg return, I loved every second of it.
He's a far better actor now than he was back then, I can tell you that. He can cut a far better promo now for damn sure.
That is absolutely true. With the recent success of Cesaro and Sheamus in the past few weeks, what dawned on me after their win on Sunday was that Cesaro has tremendous success when he's part of a tag team, whether it's Swagger, Tyson Kidd, now Sheamus. So my question is, why does Cesaro have so much success when it comes to tag teams, but for some reason that doesn't translate to a singles career? Well, I think the key, obviously, Cesaro could have a great singles career, but Vince clearly does not see him as a singles wrestler, like as a top singles wrestler. But when you put him with another guy in a division that he doesn't really care that much about, and he's allowed to, I don't know. I mean, he's with Sheamus, an Irishman. Of course Vince loves Sheamus. They're going to do more with the guy. I don't think it's that Cesaro can't be a singles wrestler or that he's not able to have success. It's all Vince McMahon. Vince sees him. Vince just has an easier time with him in a tag team than as a singles guy. I think that's it. I've seen plenty of great Cesaro singles matches. Many, many, many. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, a radio network. Only got a moment, but a couple of things here. Eric has a card for Mania, which actually is a hell of a card. Taker versus Cena for the WWE title. AJ and the Club versus The Shield. Balor versus Owens for the Universal title. Brock versus Goldberg. Usos versus American Alpha for the SmackDown title. Charlotte versus Bayley for the Raw title. Becky versus Nikki for the SmackDown title. New Day versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw titles. Miz versus Corbin. And Rusev versus Big Cass. I think the final three there are more likely to take place before Mania, because we've got a long time till Mania. But that's a pretty good top of the card there. This person says New Day should break the record on December 13th. So December 14th would be the first opportunity to beat them for those titles.
What day is that?
Not sure. Check it out real quick. And finally, don't forget the Overweight Classic. Ode to the Overweight Classic Song Contest. 30-second song, MP3 format. Send it to Brian at WrestlingObserver.com with filthy contest in the subject line. Winner gets a Fight Kit ring-worn jacket. Filthy Tom sported in his last fight with Corey Anderson. I need these by the end of Wednesday's Wrestling Observer Live. So get working. You got 24 hours. Big prize to the winner. That's a Wednesday?
Wednesday, yes.
Yep. So I guess the following Monday, or if there's a pay-per-view that weekend, they could lose them there. So there you go. We're out of time, everybody. We're here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. If you have a smartphone, grab the TuneIn Radio app, search Sports Byline USA, and listen to us live and free every day. We got commercial-free replays for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. All of these other great shows for subscribers, 15 to 20 a week, 8,500 in the archives, thousands and thousands of shows. Only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. That is it from here. Thanks, Mike. All the folks at Sports Byline, callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.